You are listening to the NHRD podcast. NHRD, a national HRD network, India's largest network for HR professionals. This episode is brought to you by Zing HR.
Era of business has its own test of leadership. And as of today, I mean, we're recording this podcast in the year 2026, to be precise, in April, our test of leadership is AI. And what really separates leaders who will have the maximum impact on the decade that is coming up, and a decade is a very long time frame when you talk about something like artificial intelligence. But yes, what sets those leaders apart from the rest is actually the sharpness of their questions, the clarity of their thinking, and the courage that they demonstrate in action. These are what will really tell whether we have leaders or then we have leaders with impact. And closing that gap is exactly what our special guest today has set out to do. And for the NHRDN community, this conversation really sits at the heart of everything that we do, our work indeed, because AI is shaping talent, it's shaping leadership, and it's also shaping the very idea of work. So who is it that we've got on the show today on the NHRD podcast? Well, it's Dr. Sandeep Krishnan. He is the CEO at People Business, which is a global leadership consulting firm. He's also a fellow and visiting faculty at the Indian Institute of Management in Ahmedabad. And he's also the author of the book that's called, very simply and very impactfully, AI for CEOs. I can already see some fingers trying to search for that book and, you know, place an order for it ASAP. But nevertheless, Sandeep, it's great to have you over here on the NHRD podcast. Welcome, and how are you today?
Fantastic, Sidhar, and thanks so much for inviting me for this podcast. I'm super excited. You know, this is a very exciting topic, and I look forward to a great interaction with you.
Yeah. And exciting times that we live in over here. Every day, there is some conversation or the other, even in regular families. This is what I've noticed, Sandeep. It's not just about workplaces, right? Everyone is talking about how they can upskill. My mother wants to really know what, you know, app she should load onto her phone at the age of 77 that will help her get quicker answers to her knitting questions and so on. So AI is literally everywhere. You also, I think, said on many occasions that AI is not so much the subject matter of pure technology anymore. It is more about the leadership. And what do you really mean by this?
So look at this as a transformation of the organization. If I'm seeing it as a technology tool, it's just as a digital tool, I leave it to the IT department. They say, you do whatever you want to do with it. I'll call a CIO, I call a CTO or a chief digital officer, because I don't know what to do about it. I'll probably give it to them. They will run some, you know, kind of use cases. They'll try to get some data on. They will say, okay, these are some things pilots will run. But nobody is really adopting it, because the CEO and the top leadership or functional leaders are not really clued on to it. Mm-hmm. So if that is the kind of change that is happening, we are not really going to make any big impact in the organization.
Right.
So the CEO and the top leadership should own it, and they should say that the vocabulary of leadership is going to change. Hmm. The capabilities and competencies of leadership is going to change. And that's why I'm saying, unless that happens, this change is not going to be sustainable.
Right.
It will become an IT, you know, pet project or a pilot project. A lot of things will happen, but nobody really sees value in it, because the conversation in the boardroom or the conversation in the top management team is not about that, because they don't understand it. So unless you understand it and you adopt it, you're not going to make sustainable change to the organization with AI, and the competition is going to do it.
Right.
So the fundamental change in the leadership should happen for this to make a difference in the organization. And that's my argument on this.
Yeah. And you spoke about that fundamental shift. Are you already seeing a shift in how new age or new CEOs are wrapping their head around AI?
I think, I also work with a lot of founders who are part of the Stanford Seed Transformation Network, because I was a participant there as, you know, with the founders. And a lot of the founders there, I think they just are very negative about it, right? The founder CEOs, the founders, they just see multiple ways of using it. They are using it for the business purposes. They are building tools over it. And so that's one set of CEOs, because they are really negative about it. But what I see very interestingly also is, you know, in established organizations like, say, Unilever. Unilever is a very classic example where they realize there's a huge potential of AI adoption. And they've started from the top and they have ingrained this AI literacy across the organization. So they are saying that, you know, how do I enhance productivity? How do I look at in terms of bringing out new tools which can help my functional expertise? How can I do market research in a better way? So you are seeing that AI, you know, it's not just about those AI native younger organizations, but even the large ones are changing. Look at Reliance. It's a fantastic example. Reliance has set a vision and a mission for the AI. They are building partnership. They have got mega partnership with one of the top players. They are building platforms. They are saying that this is going to have 10x productivity. So the intent at the leadership level is very clear. So we are seeing these major shifts that are happening. And I think this is going to amplify in the, you know, months to come.
Yeah. And also, you know, Sandeep, while you're talking about the shift, there still is a gap. And it's not to say that, you know, people like yourselves have done a lot of work, are doing a lot of work to bridge that gap. But people still find themselves very, very adept at talking about AI, but actually actioning it or using it is another story altogether. What are the reasons, typically in your experience, for this gap to still persist, despite there being no debate about the value or the transformative potential of AI?
So let me share a quick slide here and some details. So if you look at the leaders, I mean, I think there are four sets of them. The ones which are oblivious, they see AI as an IT solution. They say that's not my cup of tea, leave it to the younger employees, and no real leadership engagement happens.
Right.
But if you look at the next set of leaders, they are the curious ones. You know, they have started using ChatGPT and other basic tools. They are keen to understand what's happening. They ask questions, but really doesn't act. And they have started exploring personally. They are the curious ones. And I think a lot of talk happens with the curious ones because they want to know, they want to understand, etc. Then there are experimenters, right? They are thinking about business leverage. They are building in use cases. They are nudging others to explore. They see incremental benefit, but they are still cautious, right? They don't know how it will span out organization-wide. Then you will see the adopters. They have implemented real business cases. They are seeking measurable ROI. They are working with the organization readiness, which is change management, is very critical. And they see AI as a strategy and innovation tool. And they see that this needs to have a transformational change ahead. So you have got these four sets of people, right? So it's very common that, you know, when you have such a major change happening in the business environment, a lot of these curious folks and experimenters talk about it.
Right.
But that's a good thing. I would say that, you know, even talking about it and being curious is good about it. But the shift will happen when they clearly implement something which is business linked and there are changes which are more sustainable.
Right.
But even the first step of curiosity and experimentation, that is they have started using the tools, they are started aligning to those tools, they are asking others about it, talking about, wow, I built something interesting, hey, see this. I can tell you an example which is personal. For example, the for the book AI for CEOs, using Lovable and a bit of Claude, I could build a website in approximately 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
The AI for CEOs, the book website is built in 20 minutes, which I could have taken maybe a month with a, you know, website build and everything.
Right.
So I was able to experiment it and build it, right? And I could show it to my team. I say, hey, this was done so fast. And they were also quite amazed by the quality of it.
Right.
Now, that's where, for example, they might have heard about Lovable. They know how to do it with Claude, but have they done? I actually showed them how to do it also. But then it's left to them to use it and adopt it, right? So that's where the shift happens. Because everybody is worried now, you know, how can I use it? Is it easy? Or is it, I need to be a techie to do it? But you don't need to be. You just have to be curious and experimental.
Absolutely. And speaking of curiosity, right? I'm sure you've already piqued the interest of a lot of people who've been sitting on the sidelines and been a little wary of dipping their feet in the AI waters, if I may call it that. Any pointers for them on how they can practically start using AI, at least perhaps maybe I can think of at least one use case, a thinking partner, right? Any suggestions from you?
So one of the things that, for example, there are multiple things that we can do to start with. I mean, it depends on which level of maturity they are at, right? But I'll give a very interesting one. It's even this prompt that you use, right? So one of the things about the prompt is that the quality of the prompt really helps you to get a better output. For example, I can think about, for example, I'm doing a script like this, or I'm doing a strategy planning. I can say that, I need a strategy plan. These are my details. Just give that as a prompt. I'll get an answer because it's giving a more generic answer. But if I tell, hey, I'm a company with 100 crores. My profitability is so much. These are my some of the challenges that I'm facing. Think like a McKinsey consultant. You're giving the persona who has done work with large organizations for scale up. I'm thinking about 5 years scaling. Give me an action plan which I can present to the board. And I need a 10-slider presentation, which I need to present to the board. The output is fabulous, different. And if I use it with Claude, I get fantastic output. So that's the difference, right? So if I'm naive about it, I'll give a generic prompt. But if I'm a little bit more used to it, I'm giving a prompt which I really helping the AI to give me the answer which I need. Then I'll not be disappointed. The first one, I'll probably be disappointed. I say, this is generic, this is useless. So that's the difference in terms of, improving your AI literacy, right? So you can have multiple these kind of stuff which can really help you to build better outputs and better productivity. I think we'll start with that. That means use those kind of tools to enhance. Do a bit research on the prompt engineering because that can enhance even at the individual level your output from AI. So that's where I would start.
Yeah, fantastic. I think you've given us a specific, prompt technique, which is this persona prompt engineering, to actually get the sort of outcomes that you're looking at, especially if you're a CEO. So that was a great example. By the way, folks, there are N number of courses out there. You must check out A, Sandeep's book, but B, also educate yourself on how to get the most out of whatever AI tools that you're using. But let's come to the context of our podcast over here. This is the NHRD podcast. So I've got to ask you, what are the implications of what's happening on account of transformations led by AI to talent, leadership, and the future of work, indeed. What must the HR manager and the fraternity be cognizant of now?
So let me give you two, three pointers here. And I'm sharing this a quick slide also with you here. One is in terms of the people itself and the organization and the capabilities. You need to reskill, some of the people. Now the don't reskill when the domain knowledge is critical, and you need the person's experience. But the role is evolving. You need different kind of people, different kind of skills. For example, look at digital marketing. Right? When you look at digital marketing, we spoke about SEO for a decade almost. Now SEO is vanishing, it's being on GEO, AEO, etc. Now, should I take away the digital marketer there and get somebody? No. Else no. I would probably have that person trained on these things. So you need to reskill the current skill set of people because they are curious, they need to learn, they need to work on this. But the old skill of SEO probably is not enough. The old skill of marketing has changed completely. Right? Script writing might change completely with all these things are happening. So I need different kind of skills from a marketer's perspective. So that's the reskill part of it, right? The second part is you probably will have to hire a set of people who are new, right? Because you might not have internal talent. You need to, be in shape with what are changes which are happening from a digital perspective or the new skills that are required with AI coming in. And there probably I'll have to hire from outside. And the third part is really about automation. Especially ones which are very rule-based, process-oriented, I think all will get automated.
Correct.
We are really seeing that coming, right? So even, call centers, for example, which are routine, you'll see a lot of automation already happening. Mass scale automation is happening. You speak about this tool called 11labs. Now, recently, they have come with the update saying that, they can, it can actually understand emotions. So if you're an angry customer, it will speak to you differently versus always a calm customer. So you have this understanding the emotions from the sound. So you will see a lot of shift of automation happening in this, and that's the vulnerable part of the job losses, etc., that might happen.
Mm.
Right? The coding part, you can see a lot of automation happening there.
Right.
So you will see some of the jobs kind of disappearing mm-hmm. or coming into new forms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the third part which is going to happen for sure. And as an HR leader, probably I need to really have this in my head, saying that, you know, what I should do.
Right.
And third part is, you know, as you said, you know, there should be, HR should be the enabler or catalyst of enabling the organization from AI perspective. They need to look at how can I enable people? Can they understand this vocabulary? Can they speak this language? Mm-hmm. Or they are going to be literate in front of others. So in that part, the HR should really take care of.
Yes.
Third part is really about preparing the organization from a learnability point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Because learnability is going to be a key skill. The structures are going to be a little bit more crunched because it's going to be more linear organizations coming forward. So we are seeing a massive change in the organization. And at one point when I was teaching this course in the organization, right, at IIM Ahmedabad, one student asked me, Sandeep, is it possible that we might have just a one-person organization running $1 billion or $1 million? Or, you know, it might be the CEO itself can be an AI agent in the future. I mean,
right.
That's maybe, the dream of the future. But we are seeing that it's going in that direction, right? A lot of strategic changes, strategic thinking is being done by AI, and that's the major shift that is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the crunching of a lot of work is a major thing that is going to happen, and HR or HR leaders and the business leaders will have to enable that.
Yeah. And the here and now, you know, from what you say, you mentioned 11 Labs as one of the tools and what it can deliver for you. I'm sure there are plenty. And this crunching of work is what is on my mind if I'm a manager right now, here and now. So any tools out there specifically for CEOs, since, you know, that's your area of expertise, to think about, adopting really quickly?
So there are multiple tools which are there. And I think the n number of tools, nobody can, people are building tools over tools, and it's becoming a huge set of tools which are coming. But I would like to give a structure to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sharing the structure here with you. So there are general purpose tools, right, which we know, like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, Grok, Perplexity. And they also have, each one has its own nuances. Where I would use a ChatGPT versus a Claude versus a Perplexity. There are certain nuances there as well. Then you have the enterprise platforms, which are like Azure AI, AWS, Google Vertex, etc., which is mostly about operational integration and institutional scaling, right? Then you have decision and analytics tools, which are like Palantir, DataRobo, or a Snowflake. They are more about forecasting risk, pricing, capital allocation. You get a lot of insights from them from a data analytics perspective.
Right.
Then you speak about the productivity tools, right? You are using Firefly here, which is an interesting tool in terms of note-taking. Notebook LM is another interesting tool. Microsoft Copilot, because it's integrated to your Microsoft ecosystem, is a very interesting workflow and also productivity tool. Then you have multiple vertical or functional tools like, you know, Salesforce, they are integrated AI, Harvey for a legal, or you have Zoho AI from, Zoho is integrating AI to multiple things. So a lot of these functional tools, each function like HR or marketing, they are coming up with their own tools. But interestingly also, I would feel that, you know, a lot of tools we can use for even diversity and inclusion especially. That is a very powerful thing which organization can use. For example, if I have got visibility impairment, I can actually use a whisper flow. I can take notes and it can convert to sound. And you are helping the person to work, right?
Yes.
So those kind of inclusive practices, actually AI can enable in real time. I think that's a very strong one. So I think it's more important for leaders to understand what kind of tools and the categorization is there. And there are plenty of them which you can use it accordingly.
Yeah. And as we speak, I think 10 more would have popped up, Sandeep, in this, 20 minutes of conversation that we've had already. But, it's interesting. I'm going to go back to something that you said, one of your students asking you if there is ever going to be a scenario where there is only one, like the CEO is an agentic AI, input. So this is something that I think all of us are trying to wrap our heads around. How is the future really, really, really going to look like? How do you see organizational structures really change and maybe some HR practices also evolve with time? If you were to take out your crystal ball and predict a few things, what is top of mind? What are you reasonably sure of?
So if you look at the short term, for sure, and I think there are two spectrums of it, right? One is the startups. Now, if you look at startups, I think definitely you will have very less numbers of people coming in because a lot of tools, you might have one person doing a 10 person's job coming forward, especially on certain pre-sales, your marketing, anything to do with content, all that will be easily replaceable with AI or AI agents, right? Including the like customer service, a lot of things, you will have very less escalation kind of a things. But a lot of these will be automated. So you'll have very leaner organizations coming forward, especially startups are not going to invest a lot more on human investment, but a lot on AI investment is going to come as AI is getting more cheaper as well.
Right.
And the second part is in terms of larger organizations. So larger organizations, I will see it's more of a hybrid. Mm-hmm. So you will have a lot of augmentation coming in, right? With the current set of people, how do you augment the tool? So you need to have reskilling and augmentation to a great deal and some bit of course, hiring for AI talent. Right. That's going to be the shift that I would see the near future. Mm-hmm. Because change is not that fast as a larger organization. You have certain things which are happening, which you need to continue.
Right.
And for example, if I'm a large manufacturing unit, you heard in China that, you're speaking in the stark factories and where there are just robots working and there's no human being there. It's just doing its work 24/7. And they're using AI and everything which is possible from automation perspective. Right. But you look at other organization which is more traditional. It's not, I can't replace all this machinery and have a fresh investment. So it's going to augment in wherever it's possible, but it's not going to be that fast in terms of moving to that level of 90% plus AI utilization. So you will have small changes, incremental changes in established organizations and depending on the industry as well, because everywhere AI might not be possible. But for example, even HDFC Bank, a lot of things, then decision-making in terms of credits, etc., they are already automated with AI. So it's going to be that kind of shift that is happening, but it might be very, very dramatic with the younger startups kind of places. The other way, it will be more augmentation and improvement.
It's very difficult to, Sandeep, I was just thinking about it the other day, to imagine, because we are still looking at, we are not able to imagine, if not this job, then what other job, right? That part our heads has not really come to. We are saying that, okay, you'll be freed up to do, some other thing. Human potential can be diverted to some other thing. But the some other thing is very vague as things stand. And I often wonder, is there going to be, have you ever thought about this? The social fabric will change, right? A lot of us can just probably sit, we are born, then we are whatever, this social fabric is going to take care of us because we don't need to work or our set of skills. I don't know, what is going to happen? Will organizations be obligated to put aside some money to care for this large and growing set of human beings who don't have to work simply because someone is taking, or rather AI is taking care of their jobs or a particular job?
That's a very pertinent question. Everybody's worried about it, right? And there are organizations which are saying that, and you saw recently with large organization laying off a lot of people in terms of, the jobs. And that's huge. And these are mid-senior level people losing jobs like crazy. And of course, the hiring is also coming down in the, especially the tech field.
Right.
They need a specific talent. So you are seeing those kind of shifts. And the places where, for example, a QA engineer in an IT is now, I don't know it's how relevant it is because a lot of QA can be done by AI so easy. So it's going to be outdated, that role itself, or it has to take a different shape. It has to probably look at from a governance perspective of what AI is throwing up.
Right.
It's a very different kind of role it would be. The roles will recast for sure. And very interestingly, I read one book which said that, you know, when the digital thing came in, of course, the computers and automation, internet, one of the things they said is that some of the jobs will go away. Mm. Jobs like a receptionist, the jobs like of a travel agent. Yeah. Those are jobs they thought will go away. But it didn't go away, right? It just recast in a different manner. Hmm. The travel agents are still there. Probably the people who are working, you know, for example, I make my trip, they're doing it in a very different manner.
Right.
And now, for example, even at the regular receptionist is doing the work in a different manner. Right. So you are seeing the jobs are getting recast.
Hmm.
And one interesting stuff is that this is also opening a lot more of the market. Mm-hmm. Lot more of different other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, you know, people will have to reskill themselves to something else. Mm-hmm. But you will see that overall opportunities will increase.
Mm-hmm.
IT did the same thing, right? We thought that IT will stop a lot of jobs, etc. But it actually created a lot of different kinds of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that will happen here as well. So, for example, I said I'm an SEO expert earlier. Now, somebody will call themselves an AEO or a GEO expert.
Right. Yeah.
It has to recast, and that has to happen very fast. But if I'm stuck with my old skills, probably I am at verge of extinction.
Correct, correct. And I mean, from what you say, that's not going to happen. There is just going to be a recasting. And here I was hoping that there is going to be a scenario where I can just sip a piña colada on a beach somewhere, never have to work one day in my life, and just collect a nice packet for my daily, I mean, regular needs, some manner of social security that, you know, government has. These are the kind of visions that I'm having, Sandeep, and you're telling me that no, we're going to have to recast ourselves. That is going to naturally happen, but it's also, you know, a nice to hear thing, and it's almost giving me reason, because I think as human beings, we need purpose, right? We can't just lie down on a beach and sip a pina colada all day long. So I'm glad that you said it in pretty much that way. But how does one prepare organizations and therefore societies for this sort of a change? Is there anything, any different way in which we should start thinking?
So a couple of things from a organizational perspective. I think let me start with the pipeline itself, right? If you look at how things have been taught at the B schools, I was having an interesting conversation with a professor in strategy in IIM Kozhikode. I asked him, boss, everything that you can get from an MBA, a ChatGPT or a GenAI will give you so fast.
Right.
Your case analysis can be done so fast and it give you brilliant answers. How is it going to change your teaching and how is the B-schools going to change, right? So very interesting, because that's the entry point for leaders to many of the corporates. Sandeep, it's more about a vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Unless you go to a B-school and understand, you don't understand the vocabulary of it, right? You probably don't understand a five forces model, or you don't understand these things. And that being self-taught is not easy, right? The experience of conversations, networking, building business cases, understanding the context, and that thinking process has to evolve.
Right.
Now, a lot of things has to change. It has to get augmented with AI, but you know, still that MBA is there. It is worthwhile, but it has to integrate this AI very deeply there.
Hmm.
Now, if you go to the organization itself, you will see that, you know, entry-level people are using AI left, right, and center. Now, there are two parts to it. One is the guardrails of using it. How do I review a task? Like, we had a lot of issues coming up with, you know, people using AI tools, and then there are challenges with that. So how do you really see that? What are the guardrails? That's going to be an important part. When to use, where not to use, what is IP which I'm going to safeguard, all that. You can't say no to it, right, completely, but you'll have to probably put some guardrails around.
Right.
And the last is in terms of building up use cases. For example, in H&M. H&M, you know, right? H&M, one of the challenges they faced was, you know, in terms of volatility, in terms of the stockings. They are not able to service the stores properly. There were stock outs, etc. Yeah, it was intelligently able to manage it. What fashion is in vogue? What are people really liking? And they use that data to customize it, right? And that's where probably the use cases become very business relevant. So you will see organizations becoming innovation hubs,
mm-hmm.
where change which will happen in 2 years, happening in 2 weeks, 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. So that fastness and agility is going to be the in thing. And that needs a lot of literacy around AI and people actively be part of these projects.
Right.
And that should come from the top. And this is going to be the shift.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see this transient shift happening, because you can't be teaching something which is 2 decades old now, because the students are going to say, hey, I can get it in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So this shift is going to be the most interesting part.
What about CHROs? I mean, you spoke about how some of the shift needs to be driven from the top, right? How will their mandates change in this new scenario?
So two things. Let me start with the CEO point of view and go to the CHRO point of view. Now, if I'm going to be a CEO, I'll have two options in front of me when I look at AI. Right? One is to give it to my CDO, CIO, CTO and say, hey, do whatever you want to do with AI. A lot of things, I want something to should be shown to the board and something to be presented to the top management. That's one strategy or one way to look at it. Second way to look at it is saying that, hey, I need to own this. And I need my leadership team to own this. So I need to change my conversations around this. So probably what I'm going to ask to the marketing person will change. Yeah, I'm moving. How are you augmenting with AI? What are things that you're doing? How is your GEO? How is your AEO? What are things? So the country is changing.
Right.
And if I'm not listening to this and I'm not aligned with this, the marketing person is probably outdated, right? So you have a big question mark there. Same with the HR. The HR, what is doing, how have you, InSense, for example, I do an engagement survey. What are the insights which I can auto-generate with AI? What are the things which are coming out from the real-time data which shows how people are moving? I always take for example, exit data, but nobody analyzes it that well. But with AI, probably I can make it more real-time and, throw up actions very fast. So I'm saying about real-time actions which can be taken on talent data. People have, it used to be like a very manual thing. Now we have a large organization with so much of leaders there. You can really say, hey, this person is maturing too much in the job. You need to have a job change. Or this person looks like, the performance is dipping. You need to do something about it. Or even performance conversations.
Right?
You have the performance across organization. It used to be an annual process or a biannual process. Now with the real-time performance data and analytics or AI, you can probably say, hey, you need to focus more on this or do something about it. It can help performance coach with AI happening real-time. So you see that the CHRO having a different role altogether, which is database, more personalized, more enabling performance, more enabling the strategy, right? So that's going to be the shift. And I think to start with, like Dr. CJK did, you need to enable the language. You need to start first saying that, can I be an AI literate?
Right.
And probably can I also enable my leaders and my team first? So the mass scale of enablement will be the next stage of really this shift.
Wonderful. It's been a great conversation so far. And I want to end on one of the first notes that we started this conversation with, Sandeep, your daughters, right? Co-authors on your book. And I'm here thinking, someone who teaches a course that's called Making of a CEO, who writes a book called AI for CEOs, what kind of environment must those young girls be growing up in? What an enriching environment. What is the advice that you will give them if they are to be future ready? I want to say future CEOs, but maybe that role may not exist. So I don't want to use words over here. I want to use a very AI-friendly vocabulary of saying nothing at all and yet meaning everything. So what guidance do you find yourself giving them about areas to build their skills in?
So very interestingly, I do have these conversations, and sometimes my younger daughter says, hey, sometimes AI is not, AI is evil. So I said, why do you say sometimes? No, it can't replace humans. Humans are wonderful human beings. We are creative. We can do these things, etc. So we have this kind of conversation. I think conversation is interesting, right? Sometimes they play a quiz with Claude and do these things. It's interesting. I think it's exploring.
Yeah.
I think one of the things is exploring this part, but never let it take on your role, right, as a human. That's very important, because that doesn't come with AI. Like, I don't think that's what we should expect also, and what we should enable.
Right.
It should not take away their thinking power. It should not take away the creative part. That's very important. So even for leaders, we're building on that. What I say is that there is something called the SISD model, which I proposed in the book. The sensing part, that means, for example, as a leader, for example, what's happening in the market? What's the business realities? That can be very fastly got now. You don't need the extensive research, which you probably give a consultant or anything. That can be crunched, right? You are really making it faster now. The second is interpretation. It can give you analysis more faster, right? And third is in terms of really simulating, right? That is, you can have multiple scenarios. Hey, what happens if, this closure of Hormuz extends by 2 months? it probably give you 10 options and thinking very fast.
Right.
So different scenarios can pop up, and those scenarios simulating that can be really done so fast.
Mm.
And D is decision. That means finally the decision is human.
Mm.
So the leader's role of decision making, you can't really crunch. Right? Mm. That is something which you have to keep to the heart.
Yeah.
So for me, at the end of the AI, at the end of everything, AI is as good as how we as humans can be, and as humans, how much can we dream about it?
Mm.
How much can we, you know, think about it as the space that we can explore it? Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it. And when I speak about my daughters or, you know, the youngsters, I'm just curious, right? And I want them also to be curious and exploring it, but not take away the very human part of it.
Yeah, superb. I love the note on which we are wrapping up this conversation. Sandeep, thank you so much. What you have said on this podcast is going to really help, I think, young managers, young professionals, CHROs, people along in the HR fraternity and beyond to really take thought through decisions with respect to their own AI journeys. And thank you so much for being part of the NHRD podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Zing HR. Listening to the NHRD podcast. NHRD, a national HRD network, India's largest network for HR professionals.